Offside.
Underskulde. Hvilken vei er den østlige samehørige region?
Ste nas pogrešali. Še vedno ne govorite kohezijsko. Projekt Govoriš kohezijsko je nazaj. Z njim pa je napočil čas, da tudi vi prestavite v višjo prestavo in končno osvojite dolgo izmikajoči se B2 nivo. Projekt financira Evropska unija. Za vsebino je odgovoren izključno izvajalec projekta Radio Študent in partner CNVOS. Vsebina ne odraža nujno stališč financerja.
Kohezijske puške. V začetku marca je v Bruslju potekal vrh voditeljev držav članic Evropske unije, kjer so razpravljali o predlogu Evropske komisije o krepitvi obrambnih zmogljivosti članic. Načrt, imenovan Rearm Europe oziroma ponovna oborožitev Evrope, obsega 5 točk. Prva točka predvideva sprostitev uporabe javnih sredstev za obrambo na državni ravni. Kot drugo, načrt uvaja nov finančni instrument, s katerim bo zagotovljenih 150 milijard evrov za posojila za naložbe v obrambo. V tretji točki načrt predvideva prestrukturiranje kohezijskih sredstev za oboroževanje, v četrti mobilizacijo zasebnega kapitala za namene obrambe, v peti pa so postavljene smernice za Evropsko investicijsko banko. Kaj je namen načrta ponovne oborožitve, natančneje pojasni Aleksander Burilkov, raziskovalec z centra Globsec Geotech.
So Rearm Europe is supposed to be an EU-level plan that is complementary to national increases in defense spending, which we have seen can be significant since at the last NATO summit, European members of NATO committed to spending 5% of their GDP on defense, of which 3.5 is on defense and 1.5 on accompanying infrastructure for military mobility and logistics. And what Rearm Europe is supposed to do is to unlock a large sum of money that can be collectively used to close what the plan identifies as critical capability gaps, especially things like integrated air and missile defense, and artillery production that would be not necessarily easy for every member state to scale up on their own, because these are complex technologies that require a large and well-developed defense industrial base. So this is kind of the point of the plan, to basically close these capability gaps. So for example, with air and missile defense, it's kind of complementary to this European Sky Shield initiative, and it is intended to do so within a time frame by 2030, which is also a time frame that is kind of set based on the rate of rearmament that is expected from the side of Russia in that time frame.
Prva točka je torej dovolilnica državam, da lahko za namene obrambe odstopijo od evropskih fiskalnih pravil. To pomeni, da bi se države članice lahko zadolžile za več kot 3% BDP-ja. Za dolgoročno odstopanje od fiskalnega pravila se zavzema zlasti Nemčija, ki je predlagala, da bi se države lahko nasplošno izognile fiskalnemu pravilu in s tem za obrambo namenile, kolikor se jim zdi primerno. Ako odstopanje od pravila za namene obrambe se nagiba tudi Slovenija. Finančni ministri držav članic Unije so na zasedanju Sveta Evropske unije v začetku julija 15 članicam, med njimi tudi Sloveniji, odobrili uporabo tako imenovane nacionalne odstopne klauzule. Gre sicer za ločen manever od načrta Rearm Europe. V drugi točki načrt za ponovno oboroževanje uvaja nov finančni instrument posojil za naložbe držav članic v obrambo oziroma oboroževanje. Sredstva bodo namenjena za izboljšanje produkcije, usposobljenosti delovne sile in vzpostavljanju trgovskih verig v orožarski industriji. S tem bodo omogočala vlaganje v večletne pogodbe. 18 držav članic se je že konec preteklega meseca poslužilo novega instrumenta in s tem zaprosilo za posojila v vrednosti najmanj 127 milijard evrov. Več o instrumentu pojasni Burilkov.
The SAFE instrument is basically the method by which this would result in cash. It's critically kind of makes it so that member states don't have to adhere to very strict EU monetary rules when it comes to defense spending, suspending them for that, which makes it possible to spend, to basically take on debt for that. And we already see that with Germany is a very good example, which had its own very strict debt break on top of EU rules, and it has suspended it for defense and is talking about unlocking a very large sum in the next 5 years for its defense budget. So it is essentially not so dissimilar in some ways to how the European Union dealt with the COVID crisis.
Načrt v tretji točki predvideva spremembo namembnosti sredstev kohezijske politike, ki bodo zdaj usmerjena za namene obrambe. Kaj prinaša takšna sprememba, razloži Paul Dermin, profesor evropskega prava na Univerzi v Bruslju.
The second important one is also to mobilize money not only at the national level but also at the EU level, because the EU is well aware that member states' financial capacities are highly divergent and that some member states have only very limited fiscal space. Hence the necessity to complement national spending with supranational forms of spending, namely European initiatives with European money. And there, the EU has tried to do two things. One thing is to essentially work within the existing budget to create extra flexibility, that is to enable member states to essentially reallocate money from different kinds of programs to defense and security spending. And what the Commission had initially proposed and what the member states and the Parliament very recently agreed to was to essentially reallocate parts of the cohesion policy funds to defense spending. It was a fairly controversial proposal made by the Commission, but which the member states in the Council and the Parliament have recently agreed to. So that means that money which the member states were granted under the cohesion policy, they will be able to spend it not on classic cohesion policy projects, but on defense projects as well.
Kot pojasnjuje sogovorec, to ni prvi primer takšne prerazporeditve sredstev. V času pandemije COVID-19 je Evropska komisija predstavila smernice, v skladu s katerimi so lahko države kohezijska sredstva uporabile za namene reševanja izbruha virusa in njegovih posledic. Več Dermin.
So it's a technique which was already mobilized during the COVID-19 pandemic. So in the very first stages of the pandemic, the Commission had also, following a similar move, recommended that cohesion policy money should be made available, could at least be made available for health and health security matters. This was done in March, April 2020. The Commission had to essentially allow this kind of reallocation of cohesion policy money to other purposes. And so we see this move being replicated, but this time potentially a more controversial fashion, because it's from cohesion policy not to health and sanitary measures, but to defense spending. And so this is not unprecedented, but this goes even further in, well, flexibilizing cohesion policy and taking cohesion policy far beyond, let's say, its traditional remit. Cohesion policy is primarily about normally socioeconomic cohesion and equality, the protection of less advanced regions. So that is the traditional core of cohesion policy, and we now see with these moves that, well, cohesion policy is being transformed into something much wider, which has not much left to do with, you know, the traditional original understanding of cohesion policy.
Kot pojasnjuje Monika Kirbiš-Rojs, nekdanja državna sekretarka v službi vlade za razvoj in evropsko kohezijsko politiko, bo morala glede na zarisane cilje Evropske komisije sredstva prerasporediti tudi Slovenija.
Sam evropski proračun je za to novo obdobje približno 200 milijard evrov večji, kot je bil v obdobju 2021-2027. Kot rečeno, velik poudarek bo na gospodarstvo, konkurenčnosti, raziskava, velik poudarek pa, kot ste rekli, bo tudi na varnosti in obrambi, in sicer kar 131 milijard evrov bo šlo po tem začetnem razrezu za te namene. To je v bistvu petkrat več, kot je bilo pa v nekih dosedanjih obdobjih. Glede na to, da bivamo v Evropski uniji, da smo člani Evropske skupnosti in da je nekako Evropska komisija že določila, da v obrambo bo šlo 131 milijard, da bi morali najti neko vmesno varianto, se pravi se odločiti, koliko od svojih razpoložljivih 5,4 milijarde bomo za te namene dali in pa v kakšne namene.
Ni še znano, kakšni bodo kriteriji za spremembo namembnosti sredstev. Kot pojasnjuje Borilko, bodo države sredstva verjetno usmerile v projekte, ki jih lahko prikažejo kot uporabne na več področjih, torej za obrambo in tudi druge namene.
That's actually a difficult question because it's not yet clear how exactly this will all go down. Will there be targets, capability targets, for instance, that have to be met within certain time frames? That's not entirely clear yet. So, for example, one thing we've already seen is that Italy has announced that it plans to spend some of that money to finally build a bridge between Sicily and mainland Italy and to basically sell it as part of this 5% defense spending, which is, let's say, a bit of a stretch when it comes to highly relevant defense spending, especially if we are talking about NATO's eastern flank. So it's not yet clear entirely how those will be spent. I think the important point, though, is cohesion funds. Because this is one part that I think is likely to become actually controversial going forward, especially for central and eastern member states of the EU. The cohesion funds are a very important part of domestic policy and funding things like infrastructure, especially outside of, let's say, the capital city and so on. These are quite important, and local budgets can oftentimes end up relying on them for things like that and infrastructure improvement and so on. And so any kind of cut to cohesion funds to get spent in defense can both directly affect local budgets, especially in these countries, but also southern European countries, but can also have unintended consequences downstream, politically speaking.
Primer tega je zlasti izgradnja infrastrukture, natančneje prometnih povezav v obliki cest in železnic. Več sogovorec.
Another really good example is improving roads and especially railways, which are often not in, let's say, the best condition. So having these cohesion funds is very important for that. And railways especially are very important for military mobility, more so than roads, actually. But then it starts to become more difficult to justify it as dual use if you move into other uses of the cohesion funds. For example, if you're using it to renovate and expand schools and kindergartens, that is, of course, something that is very popular, politically speaking, in the communities where it's used. But it's going to be difficult to justify as a dual use of that. And so then the question, as I mentioned before, is what happens if you redirect funding from things that are politically popular but perhaps not dual use into more military-oriented things? We have there's already some pretty serious concerns about that and what the impact will be on the cohesion funds and what the impact will be politically from this redirection of the cohesion funds.
Kirbiš-Rojs izpostavlja, da lahko države ta sredstva namenijo za tako imenovano dvojno rabo, izgradnjo vojaške infrastrukture ter za vzpostavljanje kibernetske varnosti.
Možnost je, da se da za dual use, se pravi za kombinirane namene, tako civilno kot vojaške. Potem naslednja možnost je, da se vlaga v vojaško mobilnost, se temu reče, ampak tu so mišljene, ne vem, ceste, mostovi, železnice. Tretja možnost pa je, da se vlaga več v kibernetsko varnost, in to so te tri prioritete, ki so danes že znane, in Slovenija bi morala pač na teh področjih začeti pripravljati projekte, sama bi vsekakor najprej začela razmišljati o pojačanju recimo kibernetske varnosti in pa v izgradnji neke infrastrukture, ki jo pač vemo, da jo krvavo potrebujemo, pa nimamo, to pa je recimo modernizacija slovenskih železnic. Tako da v bistvu tu bi zadostili po eni strani in tem, bom rekla pod narekovaji, obrambnim namenom in po drugi strani tudi zeleni agendi, kajti ravno rak rana Slovenije je, tudi v primerjavi z sosednjimi državami, da pač tega železniškega prometa nikakor ne moderniziramo.
S takšno prerazporeditvijo bi glavno besedo nad sredstvi dobile nacionalne oblasti, ob rob pa bi bile postavljene regionalne, ki imajo pri porabi kohezijskih sredstev pomembno vlogo. Več Dermin.
So this is of course controversial because this means that there are certain countries which are losing out. This also means that, for example, regions which used to be really at the core of cohesion policy lose a lot of prominence in the way this policy is being implemented and the way projects and investments are being selected. It is a controversial initiative which has sparked very heated debate in Brussels and in national capitals as well.
Evropska komisija tako v objestnem strahu predstavlja svoj načrt za ponovno oborožitev Evrope, za katerega bo pod pretvezo zagotavljanja varnosti naredila vse od mobilizacije zasebnega kapitala do preusmeritve kohezijskih evrov. Offside v okviru Govoriš kohezijsko, lokalno, je pripravila Tija.
89,3
Megahertz.
89,3 Megahertz, da gibt's gute Wurst und ein bisschen Musik.
Oddaja je nastala v okviru projekta Govoriš kohezijsko, lokalno, ki ga podpira Evropska komisija. Mnenja, podana v oddaji, ne odražajo mnenj Evropske komisije, ki pa tudi ne odgovarja za uporabo informacij, navedenih v oddaji.